T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome into Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with Bobby Hebert and Charlie Long, getting ready to break down more LSU baseball, getting ready for super regional action, seeing who the Tigers are going to play. Looking right now, Kentucky has a 4-2 lead over Indiana. We're in the top of the seventh inning there. Looking at one other game going on still currently, Duke shutting out Coastal Carolina 8-0. The Chanticleers not putting up any runs on the board.
Yeah, that Duke, that's like Kentucky, Indiana. That's all basketball schools. But, hey, they're doing good in baseball. It just shows you that you don't have to be one-dimensional and that fans will come on and support. I'm looking at, like, the game between on ESPN2 right here between Indiana and Kentucky. Look at the fan support by the Kentucky Wildcats. You know, they're in there. They got all their blue, sea of blue, and they all into the game. And it's not over. But I think Kentucky, you know, would be somewhat confident and say, hey, we can shock the world. We can go beat LSU in Baton Rouge, you know, SEC opponent that we're familiar with. I think Indiana might be a little more overwhelmed. But the bottom line is LSU got to bring it. LSU's better than Kentucky or Indiana to be able to, you know, eventually come out on top. But you know what, Steve? You know what I was saying was a good problem to have?
I was going
to
say, you gave me some homework during the break.
Yeah, I gave Steve some homework. And this is a good thing because we all know about Dylan Cruz. I mean, he might end up being the highest batting average ever by an LSU player. It might be, I want to say, 432 plus, 400, you know, .432 ever. And, you know, he's a little bit of a slump, but where he's at now as of late. And very similar. So it's good that you have more than one player on this level. How about Josh Pearson? I mean, arguably you could say in this regional that he could have been MVP.
I was going to say, Cruz was 8-for-13, 4 RBI. Pearson, 4-for-11, 5 RBI.
Yeah, 5 RBI, and then it was impressive by Pearson. That
two trips.
Two triples. He hits a home run, but you have to look at it that he's a nine-hole hitter.
Right.
Hello. Isn't that a good thing? It's like, oh, we're the bottom of the order. We're going to take care of business, 7, 8, 9 hitter. No. All of a sudden, he's the ninth-hole hitter, Josh Pearson. Well, guess who's been leading the pack and the number one hitter? Dylan Cruz. What? If that continues, that would bode well to get to Omaha. Your ninth-hole hitter and your number one hitter, so that's a pitcher's nightmare.
Okay, top to bottom, man. It's murderer's row here.
Who are you going to pitch around? And looking at Josh Pearson, I look at where he's at right now, a nine-hole hitter, is his second season with the Tigers. So, listen, that's a good problem to have, that all of a sudden Josh Pearson could have won the MVP and Dylan Cruz deservingly so. But, Steve, the one thing that they cannot afford to do, and I think we're over that hump. You know, and if you have runners in scoring position, old school, you say, ducks on the pond. If you got ducks on the pond, or you're knocking them in, or it's like, damn, how in the hell we didn't score? Well, if you look at recently, I'm not saying today, but recently, if you look at, Southeastern Conference opponents, how we closed out the season, SEC play and all, that we recently, that being the LSU Tigers, struggled at the plate with the bases loaded. you know, it could be one out.
So frustrating, right?
It could be one out. How in the hell we didn't score? It was like the bases were loaded.
Just sacrifice and at least get somebody in, please.
Okay, look, the Tigers, now this had caught my attention. Now you move on, but Coach Johnson's aware of this. Now, maybe you could have a little slump, and then you get over that because you got to score. The LSU was 5-for-24 in those situations with the bases loading against the SEC opponents. That being Auburn, Mississippi State, Georgia, South Carolina, Arkansas, Texas A&M in the month of May. Well, guess what? We're in June now. So we flush May down the toilet, and we're not going to do
late, right?
We're not gonna do none of that. Because that's unbelievable how we have the bases loaded and you just 5-for-24 in those situations in SEC play. And you look, it kind of continued, though, into the regional. Look, in the second game of the regional, the Tigers loaded the bases in the first and second and eighth innings, and you came away with nothing. So that's one thing. Whether we play in Kentucky or Indiana, or whether you overtake Kentucky or Indiana and you go to Omaha, I don't want to see the damn bases loaded and we don't score, especially when you got one out. You know, you got the bases loaded. You got to score somehow, whether you're manufacturing runs, whatever it might be. So that's what I'll be looking for. That's going to bode well for us, that being the LSU Tigers. We got the bases loaded and ducks in the pond that they're coming home and we're actually scoring.
When we get back from the break, getting into more SEC baseball with D1Baseball.com SEC writer Mark Etheridge here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jimmy and Gretna, Greg in Mississippi, and all the rest of our calls will be right to you. Mark Etheridge, D1Baseball.com SEC writer, giving us some time. Appreciate it. And, man, what happened to all these SEC teams in the opening round, my man?
Well, especially, Mark, you got to think Arkansas and Vanderbilt. Like, what? What happened?
Yeah, that was a huge surprise. I mean, they've been so good all year, especially Arkansas. For me,
yeah,
that was the one I thought they would slug their way through, but... But, you know, yesterday, Hagen Smith just didn't have it. He's all SEC pitcher. He's going to be one of the top picks in the draft in next year's draft. He'll be one of the guys that we're talking about, you know, like Cruz and Skeens at the top of next year's draft. But he just – it was bad. And then Arkansas, all year, they have struggled with pitching depth. They're one of those teams that if they would have somehow got through the regional, if they didn't draw a team like TCU or they pitched better, you know, this weekend – and they get to a super, and they don't have to use, but, you know, 3-4 guys, they beat you. And then they get to Omaha with all the off days. And I really thought that was the – if they could get through this weekend, you know, they'd be in really good shape, and they just couldn't do it. As for Vandy, you know, it's almost a negative to win the SEC tournament right now. You know, the longer you play, maybe there's a little bit of fatigue. I don't know what it was, but they just didn't play well. And – yeah, they've had some pitching injuries that set them back, but that really wasn't why they lost. They didn't score enough runs. And that's a team that doesn't have the one or two guys that really, you know, stand out. It's more of a team effort. And for all of those guys to struggle at the same time was really strange to me. And those were the two biggest surprises so far.
Now, Mark, speaking of injuries, and, you know, you can it could be, you know, you're on a roller coaster, and it could be cyclical, so to speak. You look at what South Carolina was able to achieve, where they're at, and then maybe kind of under the radar considering the expectations they had last year and then the slow start this year, but where Tennessee's at. I mean, I know that 14-inning game against Clemson, to me that was the best game so far in the postseason when you look at college baseball. I don't even like Tennessee or Clemson. But if you couldn't be entertained, like, whoa, look what just happened. You thought Tennessee's going to win, Clemson, and Tennessee wins. But just talk about all of that and then where South Carolina's at and Tennessee going forward.
Yeah, for South Carolina, I think the thing for them is midseason, they were one of the best teams in the country. I mean, they might have been the best. I mean, they really handled LSU. LSU was lucky to get one game, had that huge comeback, if you remember, to get that split. So we thought at that point, hey, this is a team that's going to be, you know, top two or three all year. And they had some injuries, and then they had some guys kind of slump, and they came back to the pack, and they were, you know, they struggled down the stretch. And as you know, a lot of us felt like they cost themselves a host site, but they didn't. And boy, they got those hitters back this week. They're getting some of their pitchers back, and I mean, they're looking like a team that's going to be they're going to be a tough out. And then. You know, you mentioned Tennessee, very talented team. They've struggled on the road this year, so they had to go to a tough environment. Clemson, you mentioned the 14-inning game that was just a classic. Those teams just slugged back and forth for, 4 hours or more. I mean, it was quite the scene. And no one's ever doubted their talent. It's just, you know, can they put it together? And they were able to do it, and they're going to be – I mean, I really like their chances to make it to Omaha now, and they're going to have a great shot to do some damage once they get there.
Wondering, Mark, real quick, does Tennessee have to travel to Southern Miss now, or is it vice versa?
Yeah, they're going to announce that in the morning at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
They're really close. If you look at the like the S-curve traditionally, like you're picking who's going to host by resume. I mean, Tennessee's obviously finished really strong, and I think what they did at Clemson might be the, you know, the deciding factor there. They beat a really good team that had won 17 games in a row. I think that might matter. But Southern Miss, you know, they hosted last year the regionals and supers and did a great job with both. They would be certainly a quality host.
They beat LSU. And, we remember that.
Sure did. yeah, sure did. And you know, maybe if they draw somebody besides Ole Miss who was just playing out of their minds, they might have been in Omaha last year.
Now, Mark, well, what is your take? Because I think at times they've underachieved and they're kind of old school. When you look at the Texas Longhorns, and obviously the Aggies, Texas A&M going out west, you know, Stanford and all that. So I'm not surprised that they have a chance. But what's your take on that, where that's going?
Yeah, Texas is a team that they pitch pretty well. They just hadn't scored enough runs all year. And they've, you know, it's a new season when you get to the postseason. And they were able to win that regional at Miami. And they're another team that's kind of waiting to see where they're going to play next week because they're waiting on tonight's game. You know, Stanford and Texas A&M. Texas A&M pitched so well in Hoover last week. They really hadn't pitched at all that. The same guys have struggled a little bit this week, but they've hit enough. And that's been able to carry them. So we'll see what happens tonight. They're going to throw Nathan Detmer, who's been their Friday starter for the bulk of the year, but hasn't pitched well down the stretch, and they haven't even thrown him yet. So it'll be interesting to see what he can give them tonight against a Stanford team that can really hit. I mean, they're an offensive club. Both teams are kind of down in their pitching, but I think you'll see. But, you know, each team throw four or five guys tonight.
Right.
If Stanford wins, then they would host Texas. But if Texas A&M wins, then we've got a wait-and-see deal, just like we do with Tennessee and Southern Miss. We'll find out tomorrow who would host a Texas A&M super regional that would be off the charts.
It'd be like, there might be some fighting in the parking lots. I don't know, the tailgating or something going about. But, Mark, when you look at it, because when you get hot at the right time, you might say, well, who's the better team? But, listen, when you peak it and you get hot at the right time, you look at the Ole Miss Rebels. And, obviously, you look when Fresno State was able to win the championship, Coastal Carolina. Who could maybe be that dark horse right now going forward to be like a Coastal Carolina or Fresno, even what Ole Miss did last year? What team is it, like a Southern Miss type team or what?
It's TCU.
TCU,
that's
okay.
Who I think it is. Yeah, they're 17-2 since May 1st. They played a whole bunch of freshmen, and they took their lumps with them early in the year. And you know how freshmen are. They're after a certain point, they're not freshmen anymore. They've grown up and they have enough experience, and they're playing like regular upperclassmen. And that's a team that's going to be a handful. They're going to draw Indiana State. It's kind of a funny, or not a funny, but an ironic deal there. They were supposed to travel to Indiana State, but because of some scheduling conflicts, Indiana State's hosting the Special Olympics on campus, and there's just not enough workers and hotels and all of that stuff. So TCU's going to host. So
wow.
They're going to flip that venue, and a team that Indiana State that earned a host is actually going to hit the road just because of, I guess, bad luck, bad scheduling.
Well, Mark, I'm old enough to remember. The only thing I know about, and he's from French Lick, Indiana State, is Larry Bird. I mean, you know, when you talk about, like, okay, it's not the Indiana Hoosiers. It's Indiana State. So I don't know. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Is it Larry Bird or what? I don't know. No matter what the sport,
I mean, it's got to be right.
Right.
Speaking from French Lick, right?
Speaking now of Indiana, obviously that game going on with Kentucky right now. The Wildcats are up 4-2 here in the eighth inning, man on first. Should there be a team the LSU Tiger fans would want to face out of these two, even though it looks like Kentucky is kind of in control here right now?
I'd probably want, if I had to pick, I'd probably pick Indiana just because I don't think they're as talented as Kentucky.
Right.
And they might not be. I mean, Kentucky's not going to be as
intimidated. They're not going to be like, SEC, we play in the SEC. We can hang with LSU.
Right.
Yeah.
And they came down there earlier this year, so they've seen it. Their eyes won't be saucers when they get there. I would probably pick Indiana if I had to choose. But LSU's so good. I mean, it's you got Paul Skeens pitching game one. I like LSU's chances to get one of the other two.
You know, Mark, we were thinking, I said, man, I can remember recently LSU playing Indiana. You know, when the teams from up north want to come down south in the back end of February to be able to get a game in. And this is crazy. Charlie Long and I, our producer, and our board, we were looking at this, is that LSU played Indiana right before COVID hit. In 2020, Charlie, isn't that correct?
It was February of 2020. LSU won that game 8-1.
8-1. So LSU beat Indiana. Now, I know it's a different team and all that, but it's like I know we played Indiana, that being LSU, before, and it was right before COVID, and LSU won 8-1. I agree with you that I think not that Indiana would be intimidated, but Kentucky's like saying we're an SEC team just like LSU. So I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, I agree. And Kentucky's a club all year that's been more composed, and you know they don't get rattled. It's kind of one of those clubs that maximizes their potential. They're not as talented as some of the other SEC. They've got talent, but they're not as talented as a Florida or an LSU. But they've maximized it. They look at all the games they won. They're hosting a regional, and they'll be a tough out.
Now, Mark. Speaking of like tough out. I thought, whoa, you look at Vanderbilt, what happened to Vanderbilt, what happened to Arkansas. You got to give a lot of credit to Florida coming out of the loser's bracket to be able to extend their postseason play.
It is. It's tough to win all those games in a row. It sure is. And they found some things. I mean, they threw a freshman yesterday. I think it was his third start of the year and his first one since March. And he gave them, seven innings? I mean, and they were good innings, right? And when you get that surprise hero that steps in, then that set them up for the day. So they had a lot of their guys that they could bring back. And that was the key. That one game really was a turning point for that regional. That's such a talented team. They pitched so well. And, boy, those bats. Wyatt Langford and Jack Caglione in the middle of that order. I mean, that's as good a duo as you're going to find outside of Baton Rouge. It's one LSU and Florida haven't played this year.
Right.
I would not be surprised if down the road that happens. I mean, wouldn't that be something?
talking with Mark Etheridge, D1Baseball.com's SEC writer. And on Friday, Mark, we got a lot of hateful fans calling in when, you know, the decision was made for Jay Johnson was going to pitch Paul Skeens against Tulane instead of saving him. Turned out to be the wise decision in the end, obviously, with the weather delays that would have shortened Skeens' outing the next day and not even allowed him to pitch that nine-inning complete beautiful gem. Were you, though, taken back at all when that decision was made that it would be Skeens against the Green Wave and not game two?
Yeah, well, yes and no. I mean, I could see both sides. I think that the deciding factor was LSU did not want to get off to a bad start and
right.
use a whole bunch of pitchers to win that first game and then be shorthanded the rest of the way. So I felt like or Jay felt like that Skeens would give them maybe not a complete game, but he would give them a really go deep in it and give them a win, and maybe they could use some other pitchers besides their ace. It turns out they didn't need anybody. You know, they were able to do it, and it did work out with the rain. There's no way you could have known that, but it certainly did work out, because wouldn't it be terrible with, you know, you hold Skeens and then the rain comes and you waste him after,
right,
you know,
right.
three innings or whatever it was, yeah.
Now, Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you look at all the regions and what transpired, you could say, well, the strength of a region and what came about. But more than any other region, Wake Forest, were they dominant or what? I mean,
yeah.
I'm looking like, you know, we all talk about their pitching. I don't know. It seems like you look at a Wake Forest game. I don't know, it's 11-1 or something. They scored one run, and Wake Forest is able to dominate. I mean, I think it seems like they're as good as advertised. What's your take on that?
They sure look like it. I mean, they've been the best team in the country, you know, from certainly the second half of the year. Seeing as LSU kind of wobbled a little bit, Wake Forest just hopped right in there, and they've been the team to beat. You know, the only thing is, the best team, the number one overall seed, and the dominant team the last three tournaments has lost in the Super Regionals.
Yep.
You know, it was Tennessee, it was Arkansas, and before that, you know, we had COVID, but before that year, it was UCLA. And they all lost to older teams who've kind of figured it out at the end of the year. And who does Wake Forest play? Alabama, whose roster is, you know, they're all juniors and seniors.
Alabama.
And freshmen with 22 home runs. So, you know, maybe, you know, wouldn't that be something with all the mess that Alabama went through the last month if they were to, you know, find their way and upset Goliath on their way to Oklahoma?
Well, upset Goliath, and all of a sudden we all intrigued in these parts because Nicholls State University from Thibodaux, that they hanging with Bama. They took the lead three times, and Bama always answered. Then they have a walk-off, and then – you know, yeah. So we look at that. We hate Alabama no matter what sport they play in. To be honest,
yeah, Nicholls pitcher Jacob Mayers, he was phenomenal, man. The freshman,
yes.
I mean, he looked incredible.
Hey, so name, image, and likeness. LSU got to pay him to go from Thibodaux to Baton Rouge. I mean, that's the day and age we live in. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, what's the odds of him being in Nicholls next year? I mean,
right.
He's going to have so many opportunities. And if there was any doubt, you know, when you go on that stage against a, you know, a pretty good lineup and you pitch that way, that was all the evidence anyone's
right.
going to need.
Mark, going back to mid-April, you already kind of mentioned the Kentucky series in Baton Rouge at Alec Box Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
LSU taking 2 of 3, a run rule in the first game. They lose a tight one in the second, and then they win a tight one in the third. So these teams have already played each other. They had a really tight best-of-3 series overall. How much do you put into that? Do you put in, like, because Kentucky's already been to Alec Box Stadium this season. They've been and seen that atmosphere. I know it's going to be different for a super regional, but how much kind of credit do you put into that?
Yeah, I think it matters a little bit. I mean, the teams will be very familiar with each other. Kentucky is throwing some different pitchers than they were at that point. Some of the guys are still pitching, but Austin Strickland's a guy who's really emerged for them. He's been a bullpen guy with really good stuff, and they've just continued to stretch him out. He started a game, and my goodness, he's emerged as a real weapon. They have another guy, I think his name is Travis Smith, who was a freshman. He was a midweek guy for most of the year, and towards the end, you know, as a freshman, like we talked about with TCU, just got better and better and better, and they just couldn't keep him out of the rotation. And he's been pitching on Fridays for them. So you'll see some different arms, if that's who you see, than, you know, first time around. But the position players, they're all the same. And I mean, they're older kids. They're mature, and it'll be a nice test for both clubs.
And then, Mark, we had actually been talking last week about how many SEC teams we had going to Omaha, right? But if you look at it now, you already kind of mentioned the disappointments with Vanderbilt and Arkansas, but the max amount of teams I think that can make it to the Super Regional rounds, I believe, is six, if I'm not mistaken, with Kentucky and then Texas A&M later tonight. But then a couple of those teams are playing each other, Florida playing South Carolina, and then LSU potentially playing Kentucky. So how many teams do you realistically think now from the SEC are going to make it to Omaha?
Is it like three or what?
Yeah, it's more likely going to be three unless Alabama shocks Wake. I mean, that's what we're looking at. And Tennessee would have to beat, you know, Southern Miss. That would be the other one. And then you're going to be guaranteed to, as Kentucky holds on, you know, with LSU, Kentucky, and Florida, South Carolina. So, yeah, they're going to be paired together. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of funny how that works out, because you had eight hosts and 10 teams in the field, and all 10 had legitimate chances to make it. Texas A&M still got a say in this. If they win tonight, they could beat Texas, and that would be another one that they would have a shot. But it's kind of unfortunate that you fight somebody in conference all year, and then you turn around and have to play them again, because you know South Carolina swept Florida.
Now
in Columbia.
Now, Mark. You on top of D1 baseball. You look north, south, east, west. And I can understand the Midwest or in the Northeast when you're dealing with inclement weather. Why hasn't California, because the weather's nice, or you look at the Pac-12, has been more like the Deep South or the Southeastern Conference? You look at Stanford. I mean, why hasn't the Pac-12, when you look at players, because they have players out there, wherever you got people, they got players. But it seems like the Pac-12 hasn't been able to keep pace like with the SEC. So what's your take on that? Because you can't say it's too damn cold in California or West. Right? Yeah. Explain that. Is it name, image, and likeness, all that stuff, or what?
Well, it's commitment to the sport. It's budgets. It's coaching. It's visibility. I mean, if you look at the rosters in the SEC, they're not just from the South anymore.
Right.
A lot of the players that used to go, you know, they used to stay home in whatever area, and it's not just California. It's you know, in Midwest and Northeast. They're trickling down, you know, to play in these great big stadiums in front of huge, exciting atmospheres and be able to, coaches with a pedigree of putting guys in the pros. That it's just different. The game has changed the last few years, and now with the transfer portal, with NIL, it's changing again. And with that, I think it's the scales are even tilting more to the haves. And right now, it's the SEC and a few other teams around the country and tilting away from pretty much everyone else.
Mark, definitely always thankful for your time. Appreciate it. You're going to be traveling for the Super Regionals. Any chance you come to Baton Rouge at all?
Yeah, there's a chance. We hadn't really worked all that out yet, but there's certainly a chance. Should be a fun atmosphere.
Well, hopefully we see you up there. We owe you a cold one.
All right, thanks, Mark.
Sounds good.
Appreciate you. Mark Etheridge, D1Baseball.com, SEC writer. All the callers on the Oakwin Heart Jewelers Talking text line coming to you back after the break here on WWL. We'll be getting to the Oakwin Heart Jewelers Talking text line in just 1 second. Bobby, seeing that the Team USA roster, the 2023 FIBA World Cup, continues to take shape. And Brandon Ingram of the New Orleans Pelicans, he will be joining Team USA for that tournament that begins in the Philippines on August 25th.
Well, the Kentucky Wildcats just dogpiled, so they won. I want to say, Steve, I don't have my glasses on, like 4-2.
4-2 is the final, yeah.
4-2, so the Kentucky Wildcats are coming to Baton Rouge.
Coming to BR.
Oh, just an extension of SEC play. I'm telling you. This is going to be a tough opponent for LSU, but we're better than Kentucky. Now, can you win two games? You just win two games, whatever it's going to take, and hopefully that's the case. Because Listen, high expectations for the LSU Tigers. It is Omaha or bust. Now, to win a national championship, that's a different animal. You know, the one series or the one Omaha experience that I try and tell people, I can remember when LSU lost in the finals to be national champions to Florida.
That was rough.
I remember they had two or three people calling up, oh, we're better than Florida. I'm like, what are you talking about? That year they played Florida six times and they won one time. I go, no.
Right, that's not, come on, you can't say the team's better with that kind of record.
You play a series.
If you were 3-3 and...
No, yeah, you can go, yeah. No,
flip a coin.
You were 1-5.
Right, not close.
You were runner-up to the national champions, that being the Florida Gators, so I'm interested to see what LSU's going to do.
But they took 2 of 3 from Kentucky in the regular season, but that was back in April.
No, I still think they should take care of business. That LSU still, if you're a fan... You got a hole. The pressure's still there for Coach Johnson and the Tigers to go to Omaha. Now, after that, I still think that's Lanyap. It's kind of like a Final Four syndrome. If you're in the postseason in football or the Final Four in basketball, whatever, I always look at the major sports there. But if you're going to Omaha, then I truly believe you live up to expectations. Now you have to have the ball bounce your way, whether a strategy or hits or pitching. Because about, but there's no reason LSU should not go to Omaha over Kentucky right now. I mean, that's just the expectation. I'm not saying you're winning anything. It's like the Saints right now with their schedule. The Saints with their schedule.
You just want them to make it to the postseason.
Yeah.
After that.
Hell yeah. The strength of schedule, they should win double digits and go to the postseason. Now, if they win anything, I think there's truly Lanyap. Now, we're fortunate that we're in the NFC instead of the AFC. That doesn't mean you can win anything, but you should be at least in the postseason. For sure, LSU should be going to Omaha after the Kentucky series coming up.
Well, you know who always lives up to expectations? Jimmy in Gretna on line one. How you doing today, Jimmy?
Hey, look, before I gloat about Southern Miss doing what they did, let me give credit to where credit's due here. You know, as many times as Mike and Bobby have pinpointed how so much NFL talent comes from the Deep South. Look, we had five teams within a 300-mile radius make it to the regionals, right? You had Tulane, the Cinderella. You had LSU, of course, the dominant team all year. You had Southern Miss in Hattiesburg. You had Charlie's team, UL, and who else? Nicholls State.
And Nicholls State and Thibodeau, yeah.
Exactly. Five teams within 300 miles approximately. It just tells you a lot. And we all know the domination in football, but – yeah, man, baseball's not far behind. Look, I'm going to go totally out in left field. I know the show's almost over. I've said this before to the guys. Bobby, I'm going to say it all summer. I hope the players are listening. I hope the coaches for the Saints are listening. We need linebackers. And I want to bring up Brian Bosworth. I just saw a picture. I was like, you know, I'm going to bring him up to Bobby because maybe Bobby played against him. You know, he looked like a guy out of a movie like Terminator or something. For you younger guys, if you don't remember, he did some movies. He was the pretty boy from Oklahoma. He was a linebacker. He scared everybody. He got ran over by Bo Jackson.
But he got run over.
We need a linebacker. We need a linebacker like that, man, to fill in the shoes down the road for DeMario, and Pete Werner's always getting hurt, and Caden Ellis is gone. So did you have any experiences with the Boz?
The boss started crying on the actual playing field in the Kingdome in Seattle when Ironhead was mauling him. And I had the first-hand view. I'm handing it off to Don Hilliard, and Brian Bosworth's shoulders all jacked up, and Ironhead was freaking just pancaking him. Now, this is Cameron Hayward's dad. Cameron Hayward made the all-decade team with the Pittsburgh Steelers as a D lineman. This past decade, well, his dad, Ironhead, was bringing the Ironhead to Brian Bosworth. Listen, we ran, never forget, like it was a 14-play drive. I threw two passes. We ran 12 running plays. And at the end of the drive, Brian Bosworth was just collapsing to the ground when he seen Ironhead coming at him, because Ironhead was just freaking smashing him, just driving him into the ground. I never forget, we were on the drive, and I go, we call the timeout or something happened, TV timeout, whatever it might be. And I go to the sidelines, and I'm talking to Carl Smith, talking to Coach Mara, what we're going to do to continue this drive. And the Kingdome wasn't loud because we always controlled the score. So it was like, it's supposed to be like the Superdome. It's not even loud because we controlled the outcome. So it was not loud, the Kingdome. This is before where they're at right now. This is a dome-type stadium. But I never forget, we're going to the sidelines, and I'm talking to the coaches. And, you know, it's the quarterback coaches talking. Ironhead, Craig Hayward, comes on the sideline and just looks at Coach Moore and Carl Smith and says, man, just keep running the same play. I'm kicking Bosworth's ass. I mean, it don't matter. It didn't matter if they know we're running. He's scared of me. I'm going to freaking maul him and just run over him. And then Mara and Carl, they look at it. Head, get your butt back in the huddle. What are you doing? So all of a sudden, I was kind of like looking at that. I was like laughing. But I had firsthand being able to witness, hand the ball off to Dalton Hilliard. He's following Ironhead Hayward. And Brian Bosworth is getting mauled. No, Brian Bosworth kicked ass when he was on steroids at Oklahoma. And then he got in the NFL.
Didn't even last 3 years.
Okay, to show you how money still dictates what you're doing, I never forget this. I don't know why I remember this. Brian Bosworth retired because his shoulder was so jacked up.
Right.
Because he had whether it was Lloyd's of London, whatever, some insurance policy that he was going to have $11 million guaranteed, but he had to have a career-ending injury. So he took $11 million guaranteed. To me, that's like small change today. But, you know, back then, when you consider that happened, so Brian Bosworth was like, he's not on the roids no more, so he's not as dominant. No, listen, as bad as Brian Bosworth, you know, he was an unbelievable player at Oklahoma. All I know is he can never talk crap to Ironhead. He goes, man, I freaking kicked you behind. If you witness something and you look at the film, it's not like an opinion. That's what freaking happened.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, no, you said that happened. No, that's what happened. And Brian Bosworth, he did movies as a cop, the Dr. Pepper commercial and all that. You know, he's doing all that.
He did win in the court. He prevailed in a $7 million lawsuit against the Lloyds of London.
Well, what I said, 11?
Yeah, close enough, right.
I knew it was something like that.
But, yeah, at least he won in the courtroom.
No, he won because, yeah, he had a career-ending injury. And Ironhead caused that career-ending injury and freaking humbled him. You know what? No matter how bad you think you are in the world,
there's always somebody better. Amen to that.
And that will humble you. And Ironhead humbled Brian Bosworth.
Back after this on Sports Talk on WWL. Back on Sports Talk, winding things down. Greg in Mississippi wanted to get to you. Didn't want to leave you hanging on the phone line. What you got for us today?
Well, just talking about Southern Miss, I got a little cheddar on them winning the region. They were plus 150, and I think they're going to beat Tennessee and make it three straight years where Mississippi wins the national championship.
Whoa, now think how unique that would be, Greg. That's almost like a movie. You think of the state of Mississippi. You would go like Greg saying, Mississippi State national championship, Ole Miss Rebels national championship, and now Southern Miss national champions. Whoa.
And Scott Berry's last season at the top of the Golden Eagles program. That'd be pretty Cinderella story, guys.
No, it's a movie. Charlie, I don't know, Greg, that's a movie if that would occur. Listen, you can't cut out the Southern Miss Golden Eagles without a doubt. I agree with you.
And TCU, that's the hot, scary team. Yeah. TCU, look out for them guys. You guys have a good show.
Appreciate you, Greg. Yeah, that's what Mark Etheridge mentioned to us, too, about
TCU
those
horn frogs. Damn horn frogs. Yeah,
they smoked Arkansas not once but twice, guys. Like, just think about that. They put up 20 runs in the first game, then 13 in the next one. Arkansas was one of the best pitching staffs in the SEC.
Okay, think about that. 20 runs and 13 runs. You know, gorilla ball. Hello, TCU. They had one cat. I don't even know his name. He hit two grand slams in one game.
Trey Richardson, I want to say.
Yeah. Okay, think about that. When Ducks are on the pond, you know, we talk about LSU, the bases loaded.
This dude came through twice in one game.
And he had 11 RBIs in one game.
Three home runs.
What? What?
I think he had like two home runs entering that game, too,
no,
guys.
And I'm looking at him. I think he's an African-American little guy. He's like a stud. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Still got that power, though.
That power, he was jacking, and he had some swag with him going with that.
Tomorrow morning, we'll be out at Organized Team Activities and have a recap on Tuesday's edition of Sports Talk. But for now, take it away, Monday night, Bobby.
All right, bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Go Saints. Who dat?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.